In the Father, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, pray and save us, journey into your house tonight. May our blessings and may our graces and our everything we do in the church tonight be accepted in your sight and holy pleasing in your presence, Lord. Go up with Lord, we're grateful also absent God, that you make it tonight, Lord, with Lord, and this day, heal the Lord, help him, heal him and take away any pain and discomfort, Lord, and help him with the doctors tomorrow as well. Go Frank as he travels, Lord, and help him with his dental surgery when he comes over. We also go with Frank, keep him safe and well, Lord, and have a nice point in time as well, Lord. Go with Paul and Charlotte, Lord, help him, go with Paul wherever he is, give him divine protection, Lord, and draw him close to work, keep him safe and sound, both from Methodist and college and physically as well, Lord. And save Stephen, Carl and John. Also go with Pat and Steve, Lord, go with Pat and his heart, Lord, give him a repair, Lord, heal, Lord, keep him straight and narrow, Lord, and help him in his spirit recovery, Lord, and if possible, Lord, bring him out to church as well, Lord, and bless him and give him strength and be at his side, Lord, and help him as well, Lord. Also, we have John Bradford, keep him safe, Lord. We have Martin Morgan, help him as well, Lord, through the next week, Lord, and keep him safe and well. Also, we have John Bradford, Lord, and keep him well, Lord, keep him strong as well, Lord. With the church tonight, give Martin Luxon from the Holy Spirit, Lord, and may it resonate in our hearts and our minds and our souls, Lord, and give us a message from on high, Lord. Go with us as we come to deliver our praise, Lord, and may we accept your sight for that, Lord, for you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, again,
amen. Amen. Let's just take some of those hymns that we picked and go to hymn number 5 in the wee black books. Number 5, The Lord's My Shepherd. We will start with that one this evening. We'll stand as we sing. Just remain seated with us.
turn tonight to one of the minor prophets, to the book of Haggai, chapter 2.
In the
120th day of the month came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, high priest, and to the rest of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in their first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong with Zerubbabel, said the Lord, and be strong with Joshua, son of Josedek, thy priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenant with you, when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations to come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of the Sour House shall be greater than of the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts. And before the 20th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one is uncleaned by a dead body, touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upwards, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fast for the dry 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labours of your hands, but yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward from the 20th day of the ninth month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is a seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. And again the word of the Lord came up to Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In the days of the Lord of hosts will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen.
Amen. Haggai could have been speaking about today with all those things he was saying about the way that the people have behaved towards God in these last of the last days. Good reading. Thank you very much. Just one or two announcements. We are missing Norman this evening. I think his foot is all swelled up, and I think he's definitely for heading for the big house tomorrow to see if they're getting that sorted out. It's the last thing anybody needs, to have their feet swept out from underneath them. So please do pray for Norman, most especially pray for Norman. For Steve as well, he's still a long way to go regarding recovery, so please do pray for him. He's in the best place. Pray for Pat too, that she is able to recover some of her strength and bank some sleep in her sleep bank. We would appreciate your prayers for Monica's mom, Pat. She is suffering the effects of, a few health issues over the past couple of years, a bad break, a stroke, and blood clots. So please do pray about that. She's in good form, but I know she's very weak, so please do pray for her. I'd also ask if you would pray for Frank. He is due to come back to Friday week, the start of Chinese New Year, he's coming back with us with his family and to go for some dental surgery. What?
Two separate visits.
Oh, right, I thought he had. Well, he's got those things ahead of him, so please do pray for him as he travels and as he heads for dental surgery. Pray for just pray the Lord's will be done there. It is elective. It's not life-threatening or anything, so please do pray about that. I appreciate you praying for me still. This is clearing up, and I'm actually feeling a lot better this evening than I did this morning. And I appreciate your prayers, but please do pray for all those sick folks. And it's the start of a new year. We are 8 days in, a week and a day. It's what? It's about 352 days until Christmas, give or take. People's going to have a lot in their minds. Get an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord, take it. And the way things are heading up right now, we have never seen so many things that point to a soon return of Jesus Christ as what we have going on in the world right now. So please do pray. Get an opportunity. Take it. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. Keep your eyes on the Lord and say what he puts in your mouth, and you'll never regret it. I think that's it. Anything else? Excuse me. In that case, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for enabling us to be here again this evening, for the new building, for the heat, for the light, for the people that are here. Lord, for your the promise of your presence as well. I pray for all of our loved ones, especially Norman and Steve and Pat and Frank and Pat and me. And Lord, anybody that loves you and is going through hard times, health-wise, or indeed anything else, Father, I pray for an arm around them or an arm under them, Lord, to support them or comfort, Lord, just whatever, or Lord, just a healing touch from heaven. Pray most importantly for your will to be done. I pray for Sam and Louise. I pray for Pat. I pray for Clyde and Patty and Claire. I pray for Stephen and Anne-Marie, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Terence McLaughlin, for Norman and Joan, for Jane and Corey, for Michael and Krista, Stella and Claudia and Milo, and for Henry and Evelyn, Lord. Please save souls. For Mark Donaghy, for Winston and Nicolette, Lord, we pray for souls to be saved. We pray for saved souls to be edified. And I pray, Lord, that as people consider just what's ahead of them this year, I pray, Lord, that they would take you as an option. Love you and thank you. Pray that you would lead us and guide us for the rest of the service. And most importantly, Father, we pray for your will to be done. Please don't be done with us, Lord. Please put your good hand upon us. Rest us and prepare us to meet the week and the things that need to be done. And again, Lord, we love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. All right, down to some of that song singing again. Amen. Did we have, it's my pick this time, number 16 in the wee black book. Number 16 is He Lifted Me. Can't sing it sitting down, so let's stand. And number 16, He Lifted Me.
Thank you.
Yep. Let's do 29. It's a good old hymn. Precious Lord, take my hand. Number 29, and then I'll give you your vocal cords a rest, and I'll take up that burden for 20 minutes or half an hour. 6:20 verses. Crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That is not going to be the thrust of our message this evening. I'm going to spend a few minutes on the subject of just how bad can it get. Luke chapter 23. We're going to begin reading at verse number, let me see. We'll begin reading at, oh, that's the wrong chapter. Luke chapter 23. Beginning to read at verse number 27. And I just want to read about 6 or 7 verses. Luke chapter 23, beginning to read at verse number 27. Just how bad can it get? And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also 2 other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And we'll finish with 34. And said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Verse number 31 will be our text this evening. I just want to give you a few thoughts and some pause for thought on, as the Lord said, just how bad can it get? Amen. Let's pray. You pray for us well again, if you would, God.
Yeah, Father, thank you for bringing us safe and straight into Hushland. Lord, you have a number. You said we're sure for you, God, and really that you'll be there also. Be also with us, Lord. And go in our hearts, Lord, and give us a message both to us and the church tonight, but also to the hearers of the CD, Lord, that goes out, Lord, and the men as well. See so mighty and powerfully. You have all the churches that are around about, both local and near, throughout the world, Lord, have their services now or near along, Lord. You may use them to save souls, Lord, or to convince people of their need of a Saviour, Lord, to lose their loss, Lord. See so mighty and powerfully, Lord. Now, and our next and the week coming, Lord, may we have a word to say to talk to those that are lost, Lord, about Jesus and about the sacrifice of the cross where he came to die for us and that we only accept him, Lord. Give us a case proof also the organizations that we support, Lord, and Lord, remember release them the National Open Doors, Kitchen Schools, Christian Institute, and the Christian Law Society. Give them also, Lord. Also pray for missionaries, give Francis Cosgrove and others, Lord, give them and keep safe, keep them. Keep guide them, Lord, and supply them with every need, Lord. Keep them safe and well. Give us and trust thy Lord, and give us a servant from above, Lord. And open our hearts, Lord, may we be receptive to thee, Lord. Give us the grace of Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thank you, well. As we read this portion of God's Word, we come literally to within a day at the end of the, how would you put it, the human life of Jesus Christ. He has been treated shamefully all the years of his ministry. He has been sought many times by the scribes and the Pharisees to put him to death, and once or twice they had him nearly up to the top of the hill to throw him down, and the Bible records that he just slipped through the middle of them and escaped them. He has been arrested illegally. He has been betrayed by one of the most trusted of his disciples, the treasurer, Judas Iscariot. As one of the other disciples said, he was nothing but a thief because he bare the bag, he loved money, and he didn't love the Lord. He has been awfully treated. He's been spat upon. He's been slapped. He's been scourged. He has been mocked by Herod and his soldiers, his generals. That we say had the crown of thorns jammed upon his head. In fact, the Bible says that they actually plucked off of his beard and took chunks of flesh with it as well. The Bible records he was more marred than any man. And then to top it all off, after having been rejected by all of the people that he came to minister to save, and they all cried, "His blood be upon us and upon our children," they made him carry his own cross to Calvary, to Golgotha. They put their hands on another man, Simon, wasn't it Simon? And they made him carry it part of the way when it became too much for Jesus, the man, to carry it. Awfully treated. Awfully treated. But even at that, it was a tremendous fulfillment of prophecy. In Isaiah 53, it said that he would never defend himself, and he didn't. He could have opened his mouth and said, "My arrest's illegal, none of your witnesses agree, I'm free to go." He could have said that at any time. In Psalms, it talks about being surrounded by Gentiles and dogs. It talks about them parting his garments and gambling for his coat. This was all a fulfillment of prophecy. A lot of it we didn't actually see. We only know because God told us that this would satisfy God's demand for payment for his laws broken. Didn't satisfy God that it cost so much, but it satisfied him that the payment for sin, being much overdue in many of our lives, would be satisfactorily covered with the shed blood and the giving of the life of his own only beloved son. Sorry, his only begotten son. Now you would think that this would be a fitting end for a troublemaker. And I'm sure you could probably think of a few troublemakers in this world that it would be a fitting end for. To be publicly mocked and humiliated, to be dragged through the streets, to have your name dragged through the mud, so to speak, to be tortured. You would think that would be a fitting end for someone like Barabbas, say, that had actually murdered people. I'm sure we could think of a few, a Hitler or a Mussolini or a Stalin or a Slavinsky or a Putin or a Biden or some of these people In fact, I would maybe go so far as to say an Ahern, a Trudeau, or a Macron, or a Johnson, or I would say there would be a fitting end for quite a few of those boys that have a lot of blood upon their hands. I don't know all the ins and outs. But Jesus wasn't one of those people. Not once did Jesus ever do anything wrong. Not once. The Bible records him as being sinless. The Bible demands a sinless substitute to pay for the sins of all of us. He'd done nothing but good. He had brought people back from the dead. I think Jairus' daughter was one of them. The widow woman's son, Lazarus, brought people back from the dead. Many people were saved because of those souls brought back from the dead. Do you remember the adulteress saved from a death sentence? Remember the demoniac that was saved from possibly what could have been a very short life if he spent all his time cutting himself and running among the tombs and crying out? How many children did he save that were demon-possessed? What about the people that were giving their lives back? The woman with the issue of blood, the woman that was bent over. What about the many blind and the many lepers that were giving their lives back? And one of the first things Jesus said was, go and show yourself to the priest. It is them that have the, if you like, the authority to allow you back into society. He carried out many other miracles. He fed the 5,000, at least 5,000 men, twice. Maybe 20,000 people and all, but look, if you're going to feed 5,000 people from a packed lunch, you might as well feed like maybe 20 or 30,000 from a packed lunch. He calmed the winds and the waves. He commanded the water not to go anywhere when he walked on it, just to stay under my feet, and that's exactly what it did. He called the fish up out of the sea. He even commanded one to hop onto a hook after it had swallowed a penny. He commanded demons to run into a herd of swine and they ran down into the sea. He preached the gospel. And he spoke the exact words that people needed to hear. Whether they liked the answer or not, and many did, and a few didn't. And there were many different reactions. Most folks, the common man, received him gladly. They were glad. In fact, do you remember what Peter said? Whenever the Lord thought he was leaving with everybody else, that Jesus Christ, the man, saw his disciples all coming the same direction as the people. He said, are you going to leave me too? And he said, Lord, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. It was those words that saved the adulteress. It was those words that convicted the rich young ruler. And it wasn't done out of spite, and it wasn't done out of hate. It was done out of an absolute love and need for a man's soul. And he said, of all the things that you've done, and the reason why they're not good enough is because you have the idol of money set up in your heart. Go on. You do with it. Instead of it controlling you, you show that you can control it. Go on, sell all your goods and give to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. And he said, I can't do that. I have too much money. It's not that he had money, because many of the Old Testament characters were richest men in the world. But the one thing that he did do that really irked the powers that be was he showed them up to the hypocrites. The very people who knew the scriptures and saw the Messiah fulfill the scriptures, they were the ones that brought about his earthly demise. They were the ones that should have been clear in the synagogues and opening the doors so that more people could get in and saying, Messiah, come and preach to us. If they had been anywhere worth their salt, anywhere near the people of God they claimed to be, they would have said, we have been waiting for you for over 400 years. Would you come now and lead our country to freedom? That's what they should have done. But in that 400 years, when they thought there was no God looking over their shoulder, when they received no punishment for their wheelings and dealings, Their standards slipped and slipped and slipped and slipped until there was none left. And whenever Jesus came, showing them what they should have been doing, instead of repenting and getting right with him, they made him their enemy. He never did anything wrong. He just showed evil to be what it was, evil. The Bible said that one of the things that he would do would be to take our sicknesses and our iniquities upon himself, and he did. He came to give sight to the blind. All the things that John the Baptist apostles, excuse me, said that he would come to do, he was doing. In a time and a place, whenever people didn't have their thoughts swamped with so many different voices. Back in the day, it was Judaism and paganism. Today, Judaism and Christianity and all the many different flavors of paganism are shouting almost incessantly, and people, a lot of people don't know whether they're coming or going. They don't know what to listen to. But back then, they did. That was all that they had. Nobody had a Bible written down. There were no printing presses. Maybe Dad or Mom would write down a verse or two of the scriptures that the priest had been reading out in the synagogue, and they would come home and they would teach that to their children. The Word of God was precious back in those days. But the Word of God was what was keeping people's heads screwed on. It's what was keeping husbands faithful to wives and children in their places and wives loving their husbands. The Word of God had a great effect on society. We know that society doesn't like the Word of God much, and there were drunkards and there were prostitutes and there were murderers. We read about them here. But it had a really tight grip on society. So the Word of God was molding society in a way that it hasn't been doing for thousands of years since, and they still took Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, proven time and time again with miracle after miracle, word after word, fulfilled prophecy after fulfilled prophecy, and they put him to death on the cross. And that's where the words of the scripture come in whenever they say, when Jesus said, "Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves." Because there's going to come a day when they're going to say, "Just be thankful you don't have children growing up. Be thankful you never had children." Why would the Lord say that? Because there are people with children today. And those children are going to be taken and they're going to be twisted and perverted and corrupted by all the filth that's going on in the schools and even in the churches. And those children are going to go off and do awful things to themselves and to other people. And they're going to bring shame and distress to parents. They're going to be taken away, stolen away, maybe even murdered and killed. That's what Jesus was talking about. The words that he said, they really stuck with me. And I've read them dozens of times. Jesus said, if they're going to do this in a green tree, if they're going to do these things to me, to God Almighty, who has proven himself to be God Almighty, if they're going to do it while I am here, whilst I am demonstrating my power and my authority over anything and everything, what are they going to do in the dry? What are they going to do when you don't have these demonstrations of my power and my authority? What are they going to do when the Bible does not form the foundation of society anymore? What are you going to do? What's it going to be like whenever even the church, as bad and all as they are, don't even pretend to preach the gospel anymore? What will it be like in the dry? What was his exact words? Oh, for if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Well, friends, we're in the dry. And I do believe we have been in the dry for at least 50, maybe 60 or 70 years. For a short period after the end of the last war, when people were thanking God, and people were in churches thanking the Lord for bringing loved ones back home, thanking the Lord for loved ones that were saved before they stepped off into eternity in a foreign land, maybe never have a marked grave. And then it went into the 60s and the free love movement and the rock and roll movement and paganism and hedonism and the desire for riches and perversion and all of that stuff. They got the Bible out of everywhere. And we live in a world today where the gospel's pretty much outlawed. And I mean that even in the UK. I know we mentioned it this morning, but that fella Enoch Burke, for standing his ground, is still in jail today, to the best of my knowledge. And if anybody knows the name of that wee woman that was arrested for standing quietly outside of an abortion clinic and being arrested because she was praying into herself, this is the UK, the place in the world that used to send missionaries out the whole way across the world. This is what we've come to. You want to know how bad it can get, that you can be arrested for praying quietly on a street corner. That's how bad it can get. When everything that made this country great, that makes any country great, is breaking down, is made even illegal. When immorality is the order of the day, was it Yang or Lings made some comment about adultery being illegal in China. You'd go to jail for it, or you'd be fined heavily, or you'd be chastened with the law. And yet, no, nobody gives. Nobody cares. Give you a little bit of perspective. 34 years ago, whenever I came to there, I was being given the tour of Desmond's and of all the different departments. And the fellow that was giving me the tour made some comment about a lady that had living with a man. Don't say anything, it's a very sensitive subject. Not married, but they're living together. That was 34 years ago. And then about 18 years ago, just before I left Desmond's, there was a wee girl landed in with her twins that you had to a married man, and everyone was saying how wonderful it was. And that's in about 16 or 17 years. That's how bad it is. That's how bad it's gotten. We live in the days where paedophilia is being shoehorned into our public consciousness. And instead of being called paedophiles, which has severe negative connotations, people that would take and abuse a child are now being called minor attracted persons. And that makes it sound very civilized and very acceptable. They've started down the road of respectability, and all they needed was a name change. When drunkenness is seen as perfectly normal, people think nothing about talking how blasted they were on a Friday or Saturday night. When adultery and fornication normally, and you've got to remember, when you start with one sin, they normally come in mob-handed and with a few friends. Drunkenness, fornication, violence, blasphemy, profanity, these are not sins anymore. They're just natural forms of people's lives. In fact, you know what? It actually reminded me as I was reading it of Psalm 2, where it talks about why do the people rage the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. And it talks about the kings of the earth saying how they will break the bands asunder, how they are going to break the laws that hold society together and think somehow that everything is going to work out properly. We live in a land where People don't believe in any rules, and if there's no rules, there's no consequences. Thefts and lies and murders, people are not even ashamed of that anymore. They have absolutely no shame. These things are now done in public, and they're celebrated, and people have gotten to the point in the development of society where they will quite literally do the first thing that comes into their head, and that'll be fine. The most that will happen will be an entry in Facebook or a video tweet. That sounds like a wet evening out there tonight too. One more biblical expression of that, take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy 3. And we'll just read out a few verses. This is what the Lord gave to Paul to send to Timothy. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, covetous boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest, shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. That talks about people, that talks about preachers, that talks about the great lengths that many will go to. Oh, I've got an education, therefore I know, and they don't. It also tells us about those men that tried to usurp Moses and ended up going down into hell in the lake of fire, well, eventually into the lake of fire. And it also says that they are reprobate concerning the faith. In other words, God's not even going to deal with them anymore. They have set themselves up as enemies, and no amount of reaching out to them is making any difference. And God said, there you go. Scoot on forward to 2 Peter chapter 3. You see the same thing again. Second Peter chapter 3, verse number 3, and this is what the Word of God says. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? But does that not sound like today? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It also says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In other words, it's going to come in a time when people are not expecting it. We could look to Jeremiah, where it talks about the restoration of Israel. We could look to the early chapters of Isaiah, where it talks about everything being back to front. Children running families, parents being behaving like kids, men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men. Good being laughed at and evil being celebrated. Remember what the Bible said? Woe unto you that call evil good and good evil, that give bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Everything is upside down. And people think it's perfectly normal. In fact, you know what? It's almost like nobody's paying any attention whatsoever. And yet the Bible is happening right in front of their eyes. We live in Bible times. And we see certain things that have literally gone as far as they can go, but we also see things that the foundation has been laid for that are winding up, that are warming up to be even worse. We see people killing babies and thinking that's great. And we see people that are being restrained from killing babies and they throw a hissy fit over. We see if you have a bad day, and the Lord says if you're having a bad day, think on good things. The Lord says if you're having a bad day, come to me in prayer and talk to me, and I will give you peace about these things. If you're having a bad day and you go to the world, especially if you live in the wrong part of it, they say, come on in and we'll get you a wee injection, and you'll not have to worry about having a bad day ever again. We'll euthanize you. And that's coming, friend. The world is going to have to go through all of the things that the Bible said it would. They all fall. What's the word? A little cesspit that our rulers have turned into, have turned our governments into. The 21 judgments that God has got stored up and ready to go, they are going to be like lash after lash, punishment after punishment on a world that has hated God and God's children and his people. Remember what the Lord said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And all of these things will be paid back in spades. But there are going to be world-shaking, world-destroying, and world-making-over consequences that are coming this way, and there's nothing we can do that's going to stop it. What the Lord has asked us to do is not to save the world. It's not to save the whales, save the trees, or the bees. The world has called us to go and see souls saved. To preach the gospel to every creature. To be instant in prayer, or in season and out of season. To be in prayer a lot. To know his Bible and be ready. Not just to preach that to other people, but to cling to it ourselves in times of difficulty. In fact, you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the Inquisition. It reminds me of the Dark Ages. Only this time the Lord is not going to let it all fly. Things are not looking good for the world. In fact, things are looking very dark and very dismal for the world. But things are looking great for the Christian. When all of these things are going wrong for the world and people are tearing their hair out, the Word of God says for you and I, Christian, to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. And that's exactly what's happening. The Lord is going to be coming back soon. And if there's anybody that you care about, a neighbor or a friend, someone that you think fondly of, we owe it to them to tell them about Jesus and about all of these things. To tell them that they have a soul that's loved by a God that's going to bring judgment to a Christ-rejecting world, and that they really need to get right with him. Otherwise, they're on a 50-50. Am I going to make it or am I not going to make it through this 7 years? They're literally on a 50-50. The outlook's awful. It really is for the world. I would not like to be a lost man heading into 2023. But the outlook's incredible. And even here, as we wade through the muck and the mire, and sometimes we have to say, Lord, please don't let that thought dwell in my head that I came across in a magazine or a billboard or on a clip, on a video clip. Don't let that take up residence in my head. even as we do that, the uplift is wonderful for the Christian. We have a God that loves us, a brother that intercedes for us, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, dwelling within us. We have the Word of God, and our day can be exactly what we make it. We let God into it and do things His way. It'll always work out for the best. But things are just getting worse and worse here. I remember once speaking on the subject of the great falling away, and how the Word of God records that because of so many Christians allowing sin into their lives and allowing it to stay there, that their love for the Lord and their brethren would grow cold. And I remember saying, yep, that's generally what's going to happen, but that generally doesn't have to include you. It doesn't have to include you. The world has always been a sinful place. I think up until very recently there has been, what was it, Abraham bargained with God for? There's always been the 10 righteous people. But I think we're drawn to the end of that now. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. As the Lord said to Peter whenever in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, I've got a sword. The Lord said, if anybody has a... get yourself a sword and a cloak. Prepare yourself for the time that you have to live here, but make sure that your soul is prepared for eternity. He loves you to bits. Even in the worst of times, it brings out the best in Christians. And I pray that it would do for all of us. But that'll only happen when we keep our eyes on Christ. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to thank you for your good time. God bless you. And amen. I don't mean for it to be a down message. The world has never been the friend of the Christian, but God has. As long as we stay in lockstep with Him, we'll be just fine. Let's do number 21. 21, the love that will not let me go. Hymn number 21 will stand as we sing. Don't forget, as we go home, to pray for Norman and Pat and Frank and Monica's mom, Pat, Steve and me, for whatever's going on with sicknesses and things, and pray for yourself. So pray for Willis and travels, and a whole bunch of stuff. Just be much more.
Thank you.
your good time and attention. God bless you. Bow our heads and be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching over us. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, for keeping your word about for us, and for giving us something to do here, Lord, as we wait for your return. And occupy until we come, till you come. Bless us as we go our separate ways. We pray again for Will and Frank, for Pat, for Steve, for Pat and Roger, for me, especially for Norman today, Lord, with his ankle and whatever it is that's causing the bother. Even now, I pray that you just touch him and heal him. Heal them all. For those souls that have heard of you and haven't made a decision for you, I pray that you would greatly convict them. For those that have received a leaflet or a word, Lord, please don't let them go another day without convicting of sin and judgment to come. Please use all the leaflets and the Bibles and the words that have gone out, Lord, to point people to you. Thank you for loving us, Lord, for being long-suffering and patient towards us. Please bless us and keep us and cleanse us and refresh us. I'm thankful, Lord, for you being there. In spite of all of what's going on in the world, thank you, Lord, for being there. Love you and praise you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. Thank you, Will. God bless you. What was that? Oh, that was a beep. That was Will beeping.